Very appropriate song today, as we'll be taking communion together in a little while. And also goes along with the front of your bulletin, in remembrance of me. So what a special day this is. Anytime we take communion together, our focus is on Christ and the price he paid for our sins. And in the message today, I also am tying this together with Christ going to the cross. He counted it a joy to do that. But we have to look at, see what that joy means. We can't be joyful. We're going through hardships or suffering and pain and things like that. That's not where we find the joy. We find our joy in the Lord himself. And so that's what we'll be looking at this morning. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 22 and 23. But I want to read all the way down through 25. I don't have 24 and 25 on the screen this morning, but I do have 22 and 23. And just to put emphasis on what Paul is saying here, as he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. So we have an obligation, responsibility, as we carry out each one of these fruit of the Spirit. So Paul will tell us what we need to do in verse 25. But first of all, let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now he says in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So he says, if we've done all of this now, if we live by the Spirit of God, let us also do what? Walk by the Spirit. So it's just not talk, but it's actually applying these fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's very important. As we see an example that I'll give you today, and as we reflect upon this joy, on joy, the fruit of the Spirit this morning, the second fruit of the Spirit, and I would consider this part too, because last week I focused on just A and B part of the message, and today would be the latter part. But it also means that having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives requires some effort, and I said that last week on our part. We have to actually put effort in having joy in our lives. It just doesn't come naturally, but we have to put forth effort. So joy is a deep and nourishing satisfaction that comes even when a life situation seems empty. And I would also say unsatisfied. So our relationship with God through Christ remains even in the deep deserts and valleys of living. So last week, I did talk about what the joy of the Lord is not. And also, I talked about what the joy of the Lord is, or it should be. And this morning, we're going to be examining how the joy of the Lord works. So last week is what the joy of the Lord is not and what it is, and now how it works in our lives. And that's why I wanted to point out verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, we ought to walk in the Spirit, as Paul says. So looking at that, how the joy of the Lord works in our lives. You know, Paul also says in his epistles that we are to work out our salvation. That means we got to put forth effort. And we do that with fear and trembling, as James would tell us in his book. But joy is a Christian virtue, which corresponds to happiness. Now, happiness doesn't last, but joy can last on and on and on, because our joy comes from the Lord. Happiness is on a temporary thing sometimes, but if you look at the two, and I'll compare them in a few minutes, but joy is a Christian virtue, which corresponds to happiness, but it is not identical to happiness, okay? So I was thinking, well, a lot of times I read from different resources and so forth, and the expositor, which is deep exegesis of scriptures and so forth, and looking at the expositor Bible commentary, it says happiness depends upon the external circumstances, while true joy does not. Would you agree with that this morning? Yes, I know you do. So joy is called the fruit of the Spirit because it's not possible to have this attitude in our hearts unless it comes from God Himself living inside you and me. That's where our joy comes from. And what I would say the reality of that is the Spirit lives within you and me and gives us perspective that you and I could never experience on our own. We would not without the Spirit. Now, looking at this term joy and the fruit of the Spirit, there's another hint of this fact that almost hidden from a view of our English Bibles. But it's a significant fact when it comes to understanding what joy is all about and how it is expressed in the life of Christians. So, looking up what the word joy, and there's 12 tenses in the Greek, and when you look at joy, and I was quite amazed as I was looking and studying what joy means and how it is significant in our lives versus just happiness. But when you look in the Greek word for joy, and it's chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara, is the same root word as it is used for the word grace, charis. So when we think about that, just as we cannot experience God's forgiveness and restoration apart from His gift of grace, for by grace ye are what? Saved. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So it's by grace. And neither can we cannot experience this godly perspective called joy apart from His divine help in our lives. Again, we must put forth effort in order to be able to enjoy the life of joy in our lives. Now, you're thinking about, okay, joy or true joy? True joy can only be experienced when we understand who God is and our position in Him. Until we are close to Him, reading and studying, and our relationship grows with Him. You know, when I read about Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father and the closeness of those two, I said, okay, that's what we need in our life, that intimate relationship. And that's why Paul, I like to go back and read Philippians chapter 3. I believe it starts around verse 10, where it says, where Paul said, I want to know the Lord my God, not only as my Savior, but I want to know him as my Lord because of the suffering that he went through on the cross that provided salvation for my life. Now, I kind of paraphrased that, but that's what it says. He wants to know him not only as Savior, but Lord. Being saved is one thing, but continuing that relationship and building upon that, knowing God intimately, that close relationship that he had, Christ had with the Father, is something that you and I need to have established and carrying on and growing. And that's why Paul says in verse 25, if we're going to live by the Spirit, and he did, then we got to walk our talk, talk our talk, okay? And when we think about that, how great it is. And we can't have that joy apart from the Lord. Now, true joy can only be experienced when we understand our position in him. Until we are close to him, we cannot have that joy the scriptures speaks about. And there's another great man of the ages, Saint Augustine. I don't know if you've read much of his writings and so forth, but also I was impressed about what he said about joy as well. He said, you have, now this is how he expressed joy. You have created us for yourself. And Christ says that as well. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And that's why Jesus says, if you want rest, come to me. My yoke is what? Light. If your burden's heavy, you come to me. I'll give you rest. And that's what St. Augustine is saying here. Oh Lord, for be it from me to think that whatever joy I feel makes me truly happy. And then he goes on to say, for there is a joy that is not given to those who do not love you, but only to those who love you for your own sake. You yourself are their joy. And then he says, happiness is to rejoice in you and because of you. This is true happiness, and there is no other. Those who think that there are another kind of happiness look for joys elsewhere, but theirs is not true joy. So what's St. Augustine saying? True joy comes from the Lord. Amen? It comes from the Lord. Now, I want to put it in another way as well. Christians are able to endure incredible pain with the joy the Bible talks about as long as they realize that their pain is not the final word. Okay, you've expressed this too will pass. We go through that, we experience it, and it passes, and then we realize, okay, now I can experience that true joy on and on and on, because that's temporary. But see, joy is permanently because it's in the Lord. So as long as we recognize that, what's going on in our lives has a larger purpose than what we can actually visualize or comprehend at the time. But there's a bigger purpose that God has in store for us. When we think about our joy being in him, if our focus stays on him and then we don't concentrate so much on the other, the unhappiness or the things in our life, we can maintain that joy. And that's what Paul is saying. The scriptures itself offers two illustrations of this principle. And I want to look at that right now briefly before we go into our having our bread and cup together. Now, looking at this morning, the first illustration comes from the life of Jesus as he endured the horror. Now, I'm saying horror. It was the horror of the cross. Why else would Jesus say, "Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me"? But he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." You see, going back to that joy he had in that relationship with the Lord, and that joy is the same that we have with him. No matter the circumstances in our life, we still find joy because our joy is in him, Christ, and not circumstances or pain and the suffering and the sickness and the things of this world. Because this will pass. But the good things, the eternal things, come eternally after this world. Now, it was his honest response. Jesus' honest response to having the sin of the world placed on him and taking that sin to the cross. You see, that was the joy that Jesus was expressing here. Now, to clarify that, I want us to look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." See, now what was I saying a few minutes ago? He endured the horror of the cross. It was his honest response to having the sin of the world placed on him and taking that sin to the cross. That's the joy. You see the difference? I'm sure you do, because Hebrews clarifies it by saying, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." And he wanted to be obedient to the Father, and he always was. That's where his joy came from. That's where our joy comes from. See, he dreaded the entire experience of the cross, but he faced it with what could properly be called joy by focusing on what would happen because of the Christ. And that's why John was able to write without any hesitation in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." In verse 17, "For Christ came into this world not to condemn it, but to give his life a ransom for" who? "For all." See how that corresponds with right here, chapter 12, verse 2 of Hebrews, that it was a joy that he endured the cross. Now, there's a second illustration I think that's very important, and I think you can identify, and especially you women can identify with this, and you might want to write these scriptures down. I'm not going to read three scriptures, but it's John chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. And this is another example of joy. And John 16:21, that mothers who are here this morning will be able to relate to in a personal way. And you ladies, you read this, or men today, you read this passage of scripture, you understand exactly what joy is. What is it that stands out when you remember the birth of your child, ladies? What really stands out in your mind when you have a child? What is it that stands out when you remember the birth of your boy or your girl? Is it the pain that stands out the most, or is it an amazing moment when you held that child for the first time? And I'm thinking, according to this scripture right here, that most mothers will tell you that it is a wonderful moment when that newborn was placed in her arms. Apart from the pain, right? And the suffering. In that moment, the pain is put in a proper perspective. You see, just like the proper perspective that Jesus placed going to the cross, he endured it because he knew it provided salvation to the world. So sometime today, ladies and men, read John chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. In conclusion, true joy doesn't mean we walk around with a silly grin on our face 24 hours a day. That's not going to happen, is it?
No.
That's not going to happen. Not at all. Saying, praise the Lord anyway. I'm going through this pain, this hardship, suffering, but praise the Lord anyway. We don't do that, do we? Well, we can. I mean, you can. But to be truly honest with yourself, nobody enjoys that kind of circumstances. But what I want to say here as we close, true joy doesn't mean we never have a rough day that gets us down. True joy doesn't mean we never struggle. And true joy means that we allow the Holy Spirit to help us keep the struggles and challenges of this world in a proper perspective. See, that's what Paul is saying here in the fruit of the Spirit and Christ going to the cross and in John chapter 16. Because back in Genesis, it tells us that the man will work from the brow, sweat of his brow, and women will have pain in childbearing. But the joy comes because God provided a way for each one of us through Christ Jesus, and Jesus endured the cross, the joy, knowing that he was going to relieve us of our sins, past, present, future. That's what he did for us. See, God is in control. I'm always thankful that we're in his hands. We're in his arms. That knowledge is enough to help or to keep us survive any painful experiences this life may throw at us or anything that comes our way. That's the joy we experience. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this last challenge we're giving, how joy works in our lives. We know what it's not, and we know what joy is, and now we know how joy should work in our lives each day. Jesus being the perfect example. And then John expresses that in chapter 16. So it puts it in your perspective and not our perspective. Because if we look at joy and happiness in our own perspective, we get it all out of sort. And we're missing the obvious that our joy comes from you. So Lord, thank you for providing us all the answers we need and the fruit of the Spirit that helps us to grow as we live in the Spirit. That way we will walk in the Spirit because we are fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit in our lives because our joy comes from you. And Lord, we are to remember you this day as we break the bread and take this cup that you endured the cross on our behalf because we couldn't have done it. There's no way we could endure the cross with joy. As human beings, we would have ran away fast as we could. Not even to die for ourselves, let alone the world. So Lord, thank you. It's something for us to think about this morning as we do this in remembrance of you. The awesome price you paid. And we thank you with joy in our hearts and praise you upon our lips. Because we believe within our hearts and confess with our lips that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The scripture says that we can have salvation. For with the lips we confess unto salvation, and with the heart we believe in Christ Jesus is our Savior. And then whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You put it very simple for us. You made it very simple for us, but you paid the price. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Lord, thank you. Thank you from our hearts of the love and the joy we find in you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.